This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Welcome in to the final edition for the season of Backspin Golf. I'll mention this a couple times during the show probably, but we always come back the first week before the Masters in April, but not this year. Sean and I decided we're going to do this starting in January. So the first week in January, when the tour is really starting up again for the new year, when they go to Hawaii. Hey, Sean, maybe you and I will go to Hawaii to cover the first tournament. Thumbs up from Sean. We'll be back the first week in January, but we're going to take a couple months off because we're exhausted. It's exhausting doing this show every Sunday. We have, again, another great show. Jeff Babineau will be here from Golf Week to wrap up the season that we just went through, which was phenomenal, with everything that went on. The only thing missing for me was Tiger. And as we know, he was supposed to be playing this week in Napa, didn't, withdrew, but that's okay. As Jeff says, I want him to be healthy and ready to go because he's probably only got one more of these comebacks left in him. So Jeff will join me. David Hill, I decided we'll go to Florida for Jeff Babineau, and somebody that I've been following on Twitter who's very funny and really good with golf. His name is David Hill. He's from here in Lexington. And I thought I'm gonna have a little conversation with one of our local guys. He's on Twitter at OneBeardedGolfer. And so we'll talk to him. And, of course, Perry French, as always, will sit with me and we'll talk some different things as we get started on the show today. It's been an unbelievable golf season, just fantastic. And when I wrap up this show, I'll thank some people, but I want to say this before we get to a break and then we'll hear from Perry French. I want to thank the five golf courses from Lexington Parks and Rec. And especially, they're all great, but my home course has kind of become Kearney Hill. And Justin Mullinex and all the people out at Kearney Hill, thank you for that great golf course. It's one of the best public courses in America that we get to play. So thank you. Also, thanks to Tell a Little Secret and Mikey, Mike Cameron, listening out at the barn, barn 28 at the Thoroughbred Training Center. All right, we'll be back with Perry French on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Well, on this Sunday, the final episode of Backspin Golf for the season.
For the season, thank you.
We'll be back the week before the Masters, hopefully, God willing,
yes,
in April. It's only fitting that I'm sitting with Perry French. Don't talk. I haven't introduced you yet. It's only fitting that I'm sitting with Perry French. This has been a fun 4 years. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning.
Mr. Strixon, Cleveland golf guy.
Great to be here as always and talking a little golf. I can't believe we've come to the end of the winding of an end of a golf season, but the beginning of a new golf season on the
yeah.
PGA Tour.
Oh, that's right. It's 2017.
So it's exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So there is golf to be played.
Yeah,
and,
always.
And that's always a good thing. And the weather hopefully will continue.
I will never get used to this wraparound season.
Yeah,
ever.
It's gonna be...
season should start with the Sony in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Isn't that the first one?
Yes. It's tournament
that's
champion.
When it should start.
Tournament champion, sure.
All right. And that we'll leave this discussion for maybe the first episode of next season's the spring.
Okay.
The whole wraparound season points toward the FedEx Cup, all mm-hmm. this stuff.
Qualifying for the Masters.
All of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, all of it. something we didn't touch on last week that I just remembered and I want to touch on with you, because it's a big deal, and especially here in Kentucky. The Web.com Tour Championship. There were 25 guys that were playing in that tournament that were going to get their PGA cards based on that tournament and the final money list.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Hurricane Matthew, which I hate that this hurricane has my name. Well, I'm getting texts. It's horrible. And it's been horrible for all those people that are affected by it. They called the Web.com Tour Championship off in anticipation of the hurricane, which they should have done.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't reschedule it. They didn't move it somewhere. So now there were 25 guys. They are reverting. They reverted back to, it's like the FedEx Cup. They had three tournaments ending with the Tour Championship. Based on those first three tournaments, those were the guys that received their cards.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Josh Teeter.
Yeah.
I still can't believe this. Our friend Josh Teeter, by roughly $2,000, which I'm telling you, he would have made in that Tour Championship, did not get his PGA card because they canceled. And he's not the only one. There were others,
sure,
obviously.
Sure, and I haven't heard the explanation. You're the one told me about that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. The explanation as to why there wasn't a reschedule upon a new venue that could just host, maybe not anything more than a no-spectator event or a limited spectator event, you know, family, that kind of stuff, and do an event where these guys can play. Because this is their livelihood.
Right.
This is a huge event in 2017 in their careers to get themselves to that next level, to reestablish themselves at that level, and again, it's conditional.
Rory Sabatini,
got
his PGA card again. He's going back at. He was pretty good for quite a while.
Yeah,
I mean, but like you say, reestablish themselves.
I mean, there's and again, if you get that. As we know, golf, the ebb and flow of golf, just like 1 through 18, then you're playing it. You play well. And these guys, their careers, they don't play quite as well. They reset their games and work on their games, make some changes, get back in it. This qualifying system that's out there, the web.com, is a pretty solid way to get
absolutely
to get the players who are playing their best and can be successful when they make that jump to the PGA Tour, the top 25 money winners from the web.com, and then the next 25, and then the 50 other cards that are given for the web.com season. It's just really hard to fathom. I thought there'd be a little bit more foresight in knowing that the hurricane, because you can plan for it little bit.
They announced about a week before that they were going to cancel the event.
Yeah.
Why call Oakmont? That's always like a U.S. Open every day.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Call Oakmont. Say we got these guys coming over.
We're going to send 120.
Okay, for 4 days.
For the event.
Send them over.
Yeah,
I got tee times. That's what
they could have gone back to maybe one of the venues that was already set up for an event.
There you go.
And that,
maybe
the previous 2 weeks ago,
I was just going to say,
they could have said, "Can you host it again?" And most of the time, that's all the stadium stuff's in place, ropes.
Right.
But
if it wasn't, just the golf course would have been ready.
Yeah,
okay,
ready to go. Crazy.
All right,
tough break for all those players. Good luck to Josh. I'd like to see him get back. Making some noise out there in the PGA
Tour.
All
right, so we're wrapping up here.
Yeah,
it's been quite the year, as it seems like it always is, but. A lot of stuff between the majors, between the emergence of Dustin Johnson, finally winning a major and kind of coming into his own. And I think next year will be unbelievable for him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys, a lot of names. It was pretty spectacular year if you're a golf fan.
Well, from the golf perspective, the events were tremendous. Jordan's collapse at the Masters to start the season off with. And what if he wins that event? Does his year change?
And by the way, it carried through pretty much
all year. It just wasn't there. And that's a huge, we'll look for him to bounce back and have that type of year where his short game is top of the heap and brings him back into the fold to where he's still...
He's still an elite player.
Right, still an elite player, but to where he's really making some noise again, and he's 23 years old. So
right.
But then Dustin Johnson, like I said, great finish, great season for him, put it all together. Jason Day continuing to be
and hopefully these 3 months off or whatever will heal his back and he'll be back.
A Ryder Cup win and the loss of Arnie. You know, what a crazy year to have that. His death, the timing of that, the Sunday after the end of the Tour Championship. You know, the golf gods were definitely shining and giving us the last hurrah and a goodbye and a great send-off to a great man. So tough week, but a great week as it turned out, and the celebration, of course. And so, yeah, Olympics back, golf in the Olympics. It's just
been, that too.
You know, it's been a huge year of golf, and let's hope the momentum that has been built and those things will continue. We'll have some great things over the
I'm sure they will.
The upcoming.
All right, let's
springs.
Talk about us.
Yeah.
We did a lot of work with short game. Oh, by the way, there's a new wedge out on the market.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Good time to retool your short game with the new RTX 3 for Cleveland Golf.
I've seen tremendous product. A lot about these wedges.
Yes.
A lot. It's written about them and
making
just
waves on
stuff.
The golf channel. It's going to continue to make some noise. The tour players are moving it into their bags right now. This is the time of season to do that. We had some done earlier before it was launched to the market, but excited about that product. New golf ball coming in the spring, a new revamped NXT. NXT, my yes. goodness. Crazy. I was thinking of Q-Star, but Q-Star is the new Q-Star Tour. Going to be a great golf ball for the player who wants a urethane golf ball. For $29.99, it's going to be an awesome ball for us
maybe
to start playing.
Maybe I can get one.
You're going to get some to try.
Okay.
And then new Z-Star for the best players of the game who've been playing it. JB put it in play at the Ryder Cup. I heard a lot of comments that the guys he was playing with said, hey, you know, what's
what
going
kind
with
of
this
ball
guy?
Is that?
Yeah, well, what's going with the golf ball? Of course, JB had a great Ryder Cup as well. He may be the good luck charm, the Kentucky boy.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How could you know? I don't care. He could be 130th on the money list, FedEx Cup list. Take him. Put him on the team.
It's
he's a great match play player. He's great on the team.
Right.
He birdied those first two holes on Sunday. I thought his head was going to explode walking off the second green.
And how about that? And then you talk about the other side of the coin. Thomas Peters, a guy no one ever heard of really to speak of him. We were in the game. We know there are players out there. This guy came when he was a pick. That was a little bit. We said, "Hey, what about Russell Knox?" And boy, Thomas Peters just showed.
Well,
Darren Clark knew what was going on.
And the comments I heard from some pretty knowledgeable people included things like, "He'll be the number one player in the world within a year."
Wow.
I mean, this guy is.
That's why we
really
turn the page
good.
Every season, look for those players to emerge,
right.
And the ones that have been playing well to continue to do that. But there's always. Always the fun and excitement of who's next. You know?
Okay, here's what I need to ask. We're going into, obviously, the winter. We hate that.
Old man winter.
Unless you have a lot of money and you can go somewhere and play. Like, you know, yeah. I'm going to San Diego this week to play.
Nice.
I'll be back. So what do we do during the winter? Now, we can go to Man of War Golf.
Yep.
Heated bays. There are places you can go and hit balls.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do at home?
Yeah, I think the key thing for most players that the wintertime thing to do from a golf standpoint within limited capacity of your house is try to stay active. Could be walking. Just getting out walking is going to be great for you. Stretching, probably the biggest thing.
Huge.
Using things to... At to what level you can get involved with stretching and working continue to help
flexibility.
Keep your flexibility high and also maybe strengthen your core.
Mm-hmm.
I like indoor putting. Buy a putting rug, and they're 7 to 10 feet long. It's just a strip.
Have one in my garage.
I'm telling you, you go out and make putts and just practice those 7, 10 footers and get that going, and you'll find yourself breaking out when you get a chance to play, because hopefully we'll get some weather that'll allow you to play some golf. Your short game will stay pretty good. And then again, just try to get to the heated bays when you can, and whenever the weather pops, hit some balls. It's
maybe just take your driver out if they're. Sometimes there's snow on the ground, but a lot of times it's just cold. Take your driver in the driveway and just swing the club.
Well, the orange whip is one of my favorite training little devices. It's a great, again, you just get a little spot where you can make some swings on the patio or in your driveway. You don't need, but again, 10 minutes a day be a huge difference to where your swing moves.
So. I'm going to do all this winter. I never did before, but I really am going to do it. Well, it's been, a fantastic year again, and I say it all the time, but from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all the stuff you do, from donating Strix on golf balls to charity tournaments that I always bug you about. Everything that you've done, and for doing the show with me, it's truly appreciated.
It's my pleasure. Glad to be a part of Beckspin Golf and be a friend to you.
Okay. And pass along our thanks to Srixon.
We will do that.
See you in the spring. All right. Since this is the last episode of Backspin Golf for this season, just this season, as always, as I've said, we come back the week before the Masters starts, maybe even a little earlier in the spring. But I wanted to talk, since we have so many people from all over the country and from other countries on the show, I wanted to talk to somebody from around here that we haven't had on the show before. And one of the guys I follow on Twitter, his Twitter handle is One Bearded Golfer. And I've seen a picture of him, and he does, in fact, have a beard. He's not hiding behind an avatar here. You can follow him at the number one bearded golfer. David Hill joins us now, and I'm really happy he's with us. Hi, David.
Good morning, Matthew.
It's great to have you on the show with us.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you.
You're a golf blogger and a dog walker, I should say.
That is, the writing of the blog sometimes gets pushed to the back burner with all of those other responsibilities.
Yeah, you got a whole list.
Chasing a soon-to-be two-year-old and walking my pound puppy that's 4 years old going on 6 months.
Oh, boy.
Isn't optional. Hadn't been from day one.
So you got two toddlers there, basically, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Awesome. That's awesome. And that, in fact, too, gets in the way of golf, I've found. I have two. They're a little older now, but it's certainly curtailed my golf. I'm sure that happens with you, too.
It does. The summer provides a sweet spot. There's a little bit of time between when the little guy goes down for bed and the dog is perfectly happy to walk at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So
yeah.
In the long daylight hours, I can sneak over and get 9 holes in at a golf club of the Bluegrass or Picadome or somewhere. I'm on the west side of Lexington, so I have an opportunity that's not taken lightly.
That's the best way. You really enjoy, what I found too is that when I'm playing less, unless I'm playing really horribly, I tend to enjoy it more because I don't get to play as much as I used to. So that's always a really good thing. Now, your Twitter account is really terrific because you're funny, you're topical, and I like to go down. One of the things you put up here, the new blog October poll, you put this up about an hour ago, it says, have you ever yelled anything at a golf tournament? Now, I can be honest about this. I've played golf with hundreds of people in my life. I don't think I've ever played with one person that would yell something at a golf tournament. I really don't.
I don't think I have either. This idea came to me a little bit out of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
How different that environment is and really... my own personal conspiracy theory is that since Justin Leonard nailed that forever long putt at Brookline, and the team celebrated, everybody was aghast at how the Americans danced and celebrated,
including their wives, opponent, including their wives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody. The Ryder Cup has just that attitude and that aura of it being something different and being kind of raucous has just grown and grown. I haven't played with golf with professionals. I've been to a couple of tournaments, but mm-hmm. you know, the Baba Booey guy and the mashed potato guy, they just seem to, it seems to be a brotherhood all across the nation. They show up at every tournament, every major for certain. So
yeah.
I was just curious if I was in their curmudgeonly minority or if I just missed the boat on that.
Well, you know, and as I said, all kidding aside, frankly, how anybody does that and either think, there's no justification for it. What goes on in your mind? Like you think it's cool or you why would you do it? Why would somebody yell mashed potatoes or Baba Booey or get in the hole? Maybe at Phoenix on the par three where everybody's drunk and everybody's going crazy. I don't know. Maybe it's okay. And the players don't seem to mind, but anywhere else, why would you do it? That's my point.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Although, as a reformed former sniveling frat boy several decades ago, there might have been a time that I thought that was funny just for kicks. But, you know, there's no way, even if I were inclined to do that then, there's no way I'd have the stamina to do it on every tee shot for every group that comes through.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That they're there and they wait for every group and they do it every time. It's insane. I think they should be arrested. That's what I think. I think we should have a special section in jail for those guys and let them all hang out in a cell yelling stuff like mashed potatoes. I actually like that idea. Here's another thing I wanted to talk to you about because I ran into this in a big way last Saturday at Kearney Hill. And at different places, it's better than others. And I'm talking about slow play. One of the things, we have great golf courses here. One of the things that can really mess up an experience is slow play. And at Kearney, we're talking with David Hill, who's one bearded golfer. At Kearney on Saturday, there were just two of us, and there was a group in front of us with two walkers and two guys in a cart that were as slow as any four people I've ever seen. They wouldn't let us through. I even called Todd and the pro shop, he went out and spoke to them. It was horrendous and really kind of made it hard to play, even though my friend Charles and I had a really good time. It was very difficult. And you have a few things here on your Twitter account about slow play.
Slow play is the bane of every amateur golfer and weekend hacker out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a culmination of a lot of things. I don't think there's one easy solution. You know, as your experience will attest, you had to call into the pro shop. A lot of these courses can't afford to hire rangers and marshals to kind of patrol the course.
Right.
And encourage people to speed up or tell them flatly to, you know, let somebody play through. You know, my idea of playing quickly is going to differ from yours. You know, ask 10 golfers, you're going to get 11 different responses on what the proper pace should be. And, you know, with Kearney, with a course that's not a true parkland layout where you're kind of down and back.
Right.
You know, it's kind of hard to skip around holes. That's one of the nuclear options I always consider is that can I skip two or three holes? Is it convenient on the course to skip around and get in front of them? And, you know, is it also convenient to get back? To be able to come back and play those holes to fill out the scorecard.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to, you know, fill out that scorecard and get that score in for their handicap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is a real problem. And I wish there were, as you said, I called Todd and, you know, those guys are great out there. I've had to do it more than once and nothing we could do could get those people to move. Golf is a lesson in life, as we all know. I'm very impatient most of the time with things. So I think part of it is I have to learn to be patient. I think this is part of my golf experience. Boy, that was deep, wasn't it?
Wasn't that deep? Well, there's always room for growth.
All right. I don't like your tone. Take it easy. here's something else I want to ask you about. You played these Snell golf balls, right?
Yes.
And you say they're really good.
They are fantastic. I found it word of mouth. I was playing last summer, I played around with a guy who was a much better player than me,
mm-hmm.
and was impressed with the way he was moving the golf ball. Now, you know, on a good day, I'm a 9 to 12 handicap. I get it out there, get it towards the hole,
yeah.
I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about these, and he had, this is a pretty serious golfer, and he had done sort of his own test runs, and,
yep.
you know, he was a converted Pro V1 follower.
Mm-hmm.
So I, this year, I've probably had 6 dozen that I worked in at different times in the year, and have just, it's a, have been very impressed. Their tour level ball or their performance ball really moves. It's hot off the club face. Left, I can move the ball left and right without too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while to get to figure out how to control the spin around the greens.
Wow.
I actually had to sort of use lower lofted clubs around the green because they were sticking.
Yeah.
What I may have used a sand wedge or a lob wedge for with other golf balls, all of a sudden I needed a gap wedge or a pitching wedge,
yep.
Just to be able to let the ball roll out without so much stop spin.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a, right. it's a neat little story. The guy, this Snell, I think Dean Snell is the guy that started the company. He's an old Titleist engineer. It's a direct-to-consumer, so they don't have any sponsorships. I've never seen an ad in a publication.
I haven't either.
They just have... I'm sorry?
I haven't either seen an ad.
No. It's just that, you know, I after the word of mouth, I started digging around the internet. There were some reviews on some of the independent shops
mm-hmm.
that gave them a thumbs up. And, you know, for their ball that competes with the Pro V1, you're paying $32 a dozen as opposed to $45+. So it's definitely worth giving it a try.
Cool. Well, here, you know, we're a Strixon family here because of my boy Perry French. And those balls are great too, but we always like finding out about other things that are out there. Well, it's been great having you on, and I'm really happy. I just wanted to talk some golf with somebody else from Lexington, because as I said, we have so many people from different areas, and I hope maybe one day soon you and I can tee it up together. I would love that.
I'd like that very much.
Okay.
And it was a pleasure being on with you.
Thanks, David. Well, as I've said, I'm a little sad today. It's the last Backspin Golf of our season. So I was trying to think of, I have so many great friends that join us on the show from time to time. And I was trying to think of the guy I wanted to talk to wrap this whole thing up. Golf Week Babs kept popping into my mind, just popping into my mind. And so luckily he's available. Hi, Jeff Babineau. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I feel like Ryan Moore must have felt when he gets the captain's pick.
Yeah, then you should feel that way, actually. Because this is a big deal. By the way, for all of our listeners, it's at Golf Week Babs, B-A-B-Z. And, of course, the senior writer for Golf Week. There's a beautiful picture of you holding what looks like the claret jug to me on this Twitter account.
That would be the claret jug. When Phil won in 13, Bone showed up to the PGA Championship with a backpack. He went through the media center and brought it around to a few friends in there, and we all took pictures with it. It was really cool. It was a really cool moment.
That is awesome. And it look, you know, as a former actor, I'm looking at this picture, and it looks like you're really reading the names. You're not just kind of faking it. It looks like you're actually looking.
I think I am. Yeah, probably am. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I hadn't had the claret jug in my hand. And, you know, to sit there and read Mungo Park and right on down the line to the Morris boys, old and young Tom, it's pretty cool. It's really an amazing trophy.
All right.
Spend time with it.
Now, wait a minute. Mungo Park?
I believe he's on there. I'd have to look up. But
I don't even know who that is. I've never heard that name.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, this is good. This will be some of my off-season research that I have to do and stuff. All right. Before we get to just a few of your thoughts about what happened in this pretty unbelievable past season in golf, there is something here about USA Today as now Golf Week magazine is now part of USA Today. They've been acquired by USA Today. That's a big, big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We learned the news last week. USA Today Sports Group acquired Golf Week, and we've been owned privately by Rance Crane for the last 25 years. He took it from kind of being a Florida-based publication to being more nationally and internationally based, and has been a great owner. And now we're with the USA Today Group, and we're hoping they can bring some extra exposure to our content. You know, they wanted some more golf content. We certainly have that, and we want some more exposure, and they're going to help us get that. So hopefully it's a 1+1=3 deal.
Awesome, and that would include a much bigger paycheck for you, I would imagine.
Oh, huge.
Yeah,
huge.
All right, good.
I'm looking at adding on to the house right now.
Good. All right. Let me just say right off the bat, we're in the silly season now. We're in the wraparound start to 2017, and I just – got to say it. I don't care. I really don't care. I taped the first, you know, round. I went back and tried to watch it. I couldn't get into it. I'm very happy that John Rahm made his first hole in one on the first day. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Great player.
Yeah.
That kid's a really good player. I've seen him play a bunch in college and the USAM. And boy, he hits it a long, long way. And he has no fear, so he's going to be a good one to watch.
Now, let me ask you this. How many holes in one do you have?
I have, like, one with an asterisk. It was on a par 3 course.
Oh, no.
Funny, because my dad played golf forever and never really had a hole in one. He made a 3 one time, re-teeing a ball. And,
yeah.
I have one on a par 3, which I don't really recognize as being official. So,
well, you shouldn't.
I'm still hunting.
Yeah, you shouldn't. All right, so let me just say this. Publicly, I have one more hole in one than John Rahm. So, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good. I have two of them.
What was his number? Was that his, I didn't know how many he has now in his life.
In his life, not only was it his first one, it's the first one he ever saw. He's never even seen one.
Oh, wow.
And when you think about how good this guy is, he's second only to Phil in collegiate wins. I think he had 11 of them at Arizona State. He's never even seen one before he made this one on Thursday. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Those are funny things, those aces.
I think I read a couple of years ago that Fred Couples only had like 4 or something in his whole career.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's always a mythical story that Hogan never had one. Well, I think we wrote that one time in Golf Week, and a guy wrote us, he was said he was a young kid watching Hogan in a tournament in Seattle, and he watched it with his own eyes. He made a hole-in-one. So he certainly didn't have as many as Art Wall had.
That's you know, mine were both incredibly skillful shots. There was no luck involved.
I
didn't hit a tree and bounce it into the hole or any of that. Oh, I'll bet. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. So we got this wraparound season, of course, and you wrote – people can find this pretty easily. Just go to at Golf Week Babs. You wrote a really fantastic column about Tiger when he withdrew from the Safeway that's being played this weekend. That's, to me, is the biggest news that's come after the Ryder Cup is over. It's a big deal. And Tiger got criticized for pulling out, for withdrawing. But I agreed with you. I thought it was the right thing to do, and I completely understood why he did it.
Well, you know, I mean, golfers by nature have to be kind of a selfish bunch. You know,
yep.
You're out there by your own. You don't have 10 other teammates to pick you up if you miss a block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not on a baseball field to get saved by a hot pitcher. I mean, you're on your own. And if he's not ready, he's not ready. And I see Tiger as really having one shot at this comeback. You know, and if physically, if he's there, it's good to know he didn't have to withdraw because of physical reasons. I mean, I think that's a good thing.
If
there are some mental hurdles, if his game isn't buttoned up, if he doesn't have these tweener shots right now, we'll go work on him and come on out when you're ready. I can wait. I want to see Tiger make one more run with all these good young kids these days, and I certainly can wait. So if he's being patient about it, now my point in my column was I think we can be patient too.
Yeah. You know, and my feeling was, with all these people that said that, would you rather him have – I understand there were apparently 28,000 tickets sold after the announcement he was playing. So I get that people are upset. They bought tickets to see him, and he's not going to be there. But having said that, would you rather him have come out on Thursday morning and teed it up and after nine holes said, you know what, I can't do this, and withdrawn? Would that have been better? I don't think so.
Right. He would have been hammered for that. I mean, he lives life in the fishbowl, and he's going to be a polarizing figure.
Right.
And then I can see this. Certainly there's disappointment. If you plunked down some hard-earned money, bought tickets, maybe you had to buy four nights in a hotel because the hotels were really pricey out there. You'd feel a little burned by this guy right now. But you know, you think back to when Tiger came back, he's come back at times too early. And you think of him coming back in Phoenix and shooting 82.
Right.
And just walking off courses and these WDs. And, you know, he's got to be there. He's got to be there physically, and he's got to be there mentally.
Do you?
You can't fake your way around a 7,200-yard golf course, yeah. That's for sure.
I've tried.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of it, and then we'll move on, I don't think the idea of being paired with Mickelson really appealed to him for the first couple of rounds.
You know, that could have been some bad, but I don't think so.
No.
That's how we think. You know, he's going to get embarrassed by Phil Mickelson. You know, he thinks he's probably going to go out and beat Phil by six, you know.
Yeah.
They just think different. I mean, we see the water in the woods, and these guys see fairway, and that's why they're there, that they're confident. So I don't think that had a big bearing on it. You know, I mean, the thing with Tiger is he lives his life behind the curtain, you know, it's like Oz. And all it does is get all this speculation out there because no one really knows for sure. Does he have the chip yips? You know, did he not like the Phil pairing? You're never going to know.
Right.
So one guy knows that. And I just know that he obviously didn't feel he was ready. He wouldn't have committed Friday if he didn't feel close enough to be in there. And then he maybe got a little stage fright. And, you know, hey, that's a hard thing to have. And if you don't feel right about it, then put your clubs back in the closet and come back another day when you're ready for it.
Yep. All right. In the couple minutes we got left, this was an amazing season of golf with the Olympics and the majors and Ryder Cup and everything. And as somebody that gets to cover it for a living like you do, just a couple of quick thoughts on this past season.
Yeah, I mean, I think we looked at this run of the summer and it was going to be so hectic. And that's what we kind of looked for. How are these guys going to get through it? They're going to be tired. They got the Olympics thrown in there now. But it was fantastic. You know, it condensed this whole season into a small little window. And we had a great shootout at Troon with Phil and Henrik Stenson. We had a good finish at the PGA. We had the Olympics. I think we're better than what we expected. We didn't really know what to expect. And you had a great tour championship, and you had a great Ryder Cup. So you look in that window, the golf we watched, and the great performances. I mean, just guys stepping up, and Patrick Reed and Phil in there, and Stenson, and Justin Rose getting a gold medal, and Kuchar getting a bronze. Just great performances. You know, we knew it was going to be a lot, but I don't know if we knew it was going to be that high in quality. It was fantastic.
Yep. Now, do you get any time off? I mean, they started already. Will you take, like, a day off in December or something?
Yeah, I get Christmas.
Oh, good. All right.
Just in the morning. But, Tiger, for once, made it. That news came out early enough that I didn't get on a plane for California. I'd been on the road, so I didn't get out for the this week's event out there. I was going to head out and watch Tiger play, but we'll get a little time. We'll see a couple of these fall events and catch up with some guys and get ready for, you know, to me, the season really starts in earnest once the calendar flips for 17 and they all get to Kapalua. So it's going to be good. I mean, there's a lot of guys in good form and a lot of guys with big goals, and it should be really good. Always is.
All right. Well, we've decided usually every year we come back the week before the Masters, but Sean and I have been talking about coming back in January, and I think we're going to do that, and I can't wait to have you back on because I just enjoy you so much, and I appreciate you taking time again today.
Oh, thanks. I enjoy being on. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Talk to you soon, Jeff.
You got it. Thanks.
See ya. All right. You know, on Matthew and Mikey, Mikey always tells me I'm a sap, and I am. So I'll try to hold it together as we wrap up this season on Backspin Golf. But I will say this, and I think we're going to do this, Sean. We normally come back, as I've always said, the first week before the Masters. I think we're going to come back in January. Maybe the first week in January when the calendar flips, as our guest Jeff Babineau said, we'll come back because golf has been fantastic this summer. Just unbelievable. And so I'm thinking, why don't we do this? We'll take a couple months off just to chill out, Sean and I, and then we'll come back in January. I just want to say to all of my guests that have been on since April, thank you. We're really blessed to have the number of good friends on Backspin Golf from all over the country, a couple of them from out of the country, a lot of friends in Canada that have joined us here and added their thoughts to our show every week. And you know who you are. So thanks to Perry French, thanks to Jeff Babineau, and thanks to one bearded golfer, David Hill, who joined me on this episode this week. And I can't thank enough our partners for the whole season of Backspin Golf. French Lick Resort, Griffin Gate Golf and Resort over there, Lexington Parks and Rec, thank you, Justin, and over at Kearney Hill, and everybody that we played these great golf courses we have. Thank you to Edwin Watts Golf. They have great stuff going on. And especially thank you to Man of War Golf, Andover Country Club, and Duckers Resort out in Frankfurt, and the incredible learning center and practice facility at Man of War Golf. I will be going there this winter and hitting balls in the heated bays, working on my game. So thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to all of you for listening. And we'll see you the first week in January on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.